I hadn't written a message for this afternoon, except the Lord had another idea. After service yesterday, he started talking to me and said, I have a word for you to share. And so I got up this morning and I wrote down what the Lord gave me. This should be a time of appreciation for God. Every day should be a time of appreciation for God, but even more so on his appointed times. And here we are on Shavuot. It's a time of being thankful to God for all his provision. But there isn't any greater provision than the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. And that is indeed the title of the message, Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. Lord, I pray that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth, Lord, will only be of you. Lord, that what is of the flesh you would strike, and what I've missed from your Spirit, Lord, that you would bring it forth. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen. And we sang some beautiful songs, and Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place. And it means not just flooding this sanctuary, which I believe that God does when we invite him in, but that he would flood our sanctuary. What would we do without the Holy Spirit? And those that don't have the Holy Spirit may say, eh. But there is no life without the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. I don't know about you, but I don't know what I would be lost. I would be lost having not received him. Not just the Word of God. I had received the Word of God long before I knew the Holy Spirit. And if you're just reading your Bible and you have no walk in faith with the Holy Spirit, then you're dead. There is no life without the Spirit. It is the Word, it is the Spirit that gives life to the Word. So it's not just about studying the Word. It's about being immersed in God's Word and let the Holy Spirit speak truth to us, to speak conviction to us, to speak accountability to us. I've known many believers that are not Spirit-filled. They tend to be on the intellectual side. I know people, Christians, supposed Christians, that have gone to school and seminary, but they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. They wasted their 4 years there. You know what I mean. I'm not saying education isn't important. It is. But without the Holy Spirit, what do you have? I was lost before I received the Holy Spirit. We've all heard that phrase, I was lost and then I was found. But the Word didn't find me. Yeshua found me through the Holy Spirit, right? He revealed himself and he filled me up and he says, Hine ni, here I am. As it says in Genesis, and it was good. It was very good. Tov mode. Without the Holy Spirit, without the Ruach, we're left to our own devices, to our own muddled ideas. Without the Holy Spirit, even with the Word, you make up your own stuff. The Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us of truth. It convicts us when we've got it wrong. There's no life in the Word without the Spirit filling it up, revealing its depth, revealing its chesed, its kindnesses, its truth. Without the Holy Spirit, sin and righteousness may look the same and feel the same. I rationalize my relationship with God. I have no Holy Spirit to direct me. And sin and evil look exactly the same Because we have no way to know the difference. I feel good about what I said or did. Unfortunately, it's not in the Bible, or it is, and it says that's a no-no. Without the Spirit holding us, loving us, and convicting us, we have no way to determine the difference between sin and sinfulness. Because it leaves room for our own interpretation. It leads to all of our sins. We rationalize. I'm in love with somebody, so I'm going to have sex out of marriage. It validates it. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of these things and reminds us, hey, wait a minute. There's my truth, and then there's your truth. We need the Holy Spirit to bring the Scriptures alive in our hearts and in our minds. Without the Holy Spirit in us, how do we receive the forgiveness that God gives us when we all break the rules? We've all broken the rules. How do we receive forgiveness if we're dead inside? It says in John chapter 14, "But the Helper, the Ruach HaKodesh, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I have said to you." Without the Ruach, without the Spirit, we cannot hope to be able to retain what is right. I'm sure we've all read Scripture or read novels, and we get through it, and we get to the end, and we go, "Exactly what did I read? I don't really remember." And that's me, because I got to read something like 5 times in order to retain it. And I got to write it down too. And the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's like writing it down for me. The Holy Spirit will remind me if I'm willing to listen to the Holy Spirit, so that I don't get off track. And the Holy Spirit teaches us. It teaches us about the Word of God. It teaches us about the application of the Word of God. It teaches us about the Spirit of the Word. Right? Without the Spirit, all we have is the letter of the law, and the letter of the law kills. Not because the Word is bad, but because we sin, and you die because of sin, and there's no grace without the Spirit. In that sense, there's grace in the Hebrew Testament. Don't get me wrong, but in this context, we need to be able to apply what God has given us, this gift of the Comforter that has come when He ascended. And we should be celebrating that. We should be excited. We shouldn't be taking it for granted. From Philippians chapter 1, "Yes, and I will keep rejoicing, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your intercession and the help of the Ruach of Messiah Yeshua. My eager expectation and hope is that no way will I be put to shame, but that with complete boldness Messiah will even come and it's always be exalted in my body, whether through life or through death." So this is a promise of, and when we receive the Holy Spirit, that there's the Holy Spirit that really he applies that salvation or that forgiveness that Yeshua paid for on the cross. When we make the mistakes, and we make tomorrow's mistake and the day after that's mistake, it's the Holy Spirit that ministers to us, that reminds us, that allows us to feel the forgiveness of Yeshua that He died for, because they're one and the same. Why didn't Yeshua stay on earth? He says, "I have to go so that the Comforter can come." Yeshua in the flesh could only minister to so many people. But in the Holy Spirit, He can minister to everyone in the universe. Y'all with me? All right. Can't tell behind the mask. God intercedes for us through the Ruach HaKodesh, as the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. It's a vital component. Without it, we're not going to make it. Which leads to the people that aren't operating the Spirit, aren't sure if they have the Spirit, not quite sure. You need to seek the Holy Spirit out. And if you need help to kind of recognize what's going on, because everybody kind of acknowledges it the same way. When you make an oath of faith, the Holy Spirit is open to us. Now, the life you lead may allow it to stay or go. The Holy Spirit will warn us. He will tell us when we're on the wrong path. And I've told this story once or twice about when, you know, before I was a believer and you were about to do something wrong, you get butterflies in your stomach. Oh, this is so exciting. It's going to be great. And that's why I got the butterflies. But the Holy Spirit sometimes speaks to me. He warns me. He says, he tells you, saying, that's not going to be good. It's not a good thing. The Holy Spirit will warn us. But he won't bowl us over. He will remind you of what's right, and you have free choice. You make your decisions. Holy Spirit will pull back and let you do your thing. Consequences are yours. If it wasn't that way, then we wouldn't have free will. We'd be robots, automatons, you know, whatever, cyber things. You know what I mean? We wouldn't have control. The Lord gives us a freedom to choose. But he sends the Holy Spirit so he can help us know the truth and make the right decisions. But he won't force us. Sometimes, you know, I wish the Holy Spirit would have forced me to do something. He said, I have only myself to blame. It'd be nice to have a partner. Holy Spirit, you told me to do it. You said it was okay. Agreed. We all like partners in crime, don't we? People usually don't like sinning alone. Sinning likes partnership. The devil likes partnership. It's the Holy Spirit that opens up for us the knowledge and presence of God in us. We are the holy temple. We house the Holy Spirit. We are the temple. The stone temple was destroyed, both of them. And the Spirit of God, we are the temple. We're supposed to be good hosts. We're supposed to be walking the walk with God because God is in us. Yet God doesn't disrespect his creation when he said, I'm going to give you free will. The truth and wisdom of Yeshua is distributed to us via the Ruach. And that allows us to weather the falsehoods and the perversions of the word and false teachings and false prophets. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no way you can discern what is right and what is wrong. If you're only relying on your own power and your own mind, you're going to believe lots of wrong things. These are going to sound okay to you. This sounds good. There's a lot of teachings and websites out there that some of the things there are okay. But they're mixed with things that aren't okay. It doesn't make it okay. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no way you're going to discern what is right and what is wrong. In Acts chapter 6, but some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedom, both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, as well as some from Sicilia, and Asia, stood up and began arguing with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the Ruach by whom he was preaching. That's a powerful statement, that there was all these people that had a fair amount of knowledge, but they couldn't battle Stephen's truth because they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to teach and preach in truth and to be able to overcome those that come against us or teaching against the Word of God. We can try and make arguments with others or even arguments with ourselves, but without the Holy Spirit, you will deceive yourself and you will deceive others, and you will be held accountable for that too. It's deep stuff. You know, we can, but it's not profitable to wander through life trying to get through, doing the minimum for God. We should be doing the maximum for God, not the minimum for God. You just don't slide by. If you're sliding by, you're taking an awful lot of chances before you go before the throne of God to be judged. The Lord knows what effort we put in, the hunger and thirst that we have for His truth. He knows. He knows that He knows, and He knows that you know, and He knows that you know that you're sliding. He sends shepherds to help guide people. The apostles, that's what they do. That's what the prophets did. They were sent out to share the gospel, to share the way of God, to share the walk. It wasn't their responsibility to force people. It's not my responsibility to force people to live for God. Responsibility of shepherds to teach the truth and to hold people accountable. But people can only be held accountable when they want to be held accountable. And there brings some great trials sometimes. People don't like being held accountable by the Holy Spirit or the emissaries of God. It's human nature. We've all gone through it. Some of us are still going through it. Some of us will never get out of it. But we can. We can overcome, because if we follow the Holy Spirit's leading, we can overcome our struggles, our challenges, our errors, our mistakes. We can overcome. The Holy Spirit allows a way for that. And the good news is, even though we've made lots of mistakes and we'll make more mistakes, that if our heart is right and we're pursuing God, the Holy Spirit covers us. We can get out from underneath, you know, the stone, that boulder that's on our shoulders, on our back, weighing us down. If we're not in the Holy Spirit, we're going to deceive ourselves and others. And that was true from the beginning. It's not new now. It's always been that way. We find evidence for it in the Tanakh. One from Exodus 35. Then Moses said to Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, "See, Adonai has called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with the Ruach of God, with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in all manner of craftsmanship." There are selected people in the Tanakh and the Hebrew Scriptures that were filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of them were temporary, in the case of the son of Hur. So there was a... people could see the difference that the Holy Spirit of God made with people that were filled or touched by it. Many cases in the Tanakh, people, the Spirit was upon them, but not in them. But in this case, and a few others I'm going to share with you, the Spirit was in them, at least based on the translation. I didn't see any controversy when I looked at the Hebrew. We see the same manifestation with Moses and the anointing of Joshua. From Numbers 27, Adonai said to Moses, "Take Yehoshua, Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Ruach, and lay your hands on him." So part of what Moses had was given to Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And so the anointing of the Holy Spirit is vital for success. Yet even with the Holy Spirit, we can falter just like Moses. When we choose to rebel. When we, yesterday, we laid hands, or sort of almost laid hands, on two new shamashim. That is a outward manifestation of saying we're taking a piece of the anointing from the eldership and sharing that with those that have drawn themselves into a leadership role, more of an identified leadership role, because the Holy Spirit has drawn them, and we're acknowledging that, and we're saying we're covering that. They're responsible. We're taking responsibility for that role, because they're ultimately under the anointing that God has given to the elders here. It's not our anointing. It's the Lord's anointing. But we manifest that just as Moses prayed and laid hands on Joshua, Yehoshua. Holy Spirit driven. And that's the connection I wanted to see you make, that this is important. If Yehoshua doesn't get that anointing, the Spirit of God in him, how can he lead the Israelites into the new promised land? Clearly that is a shadow of what was to come with Messiah. It should be encouraging for us. It's not a new thing. The Holy Spirit's not a new thing. The Holy Spirit is before the beginning of time, right? God is one, and we don't know how he comes about, but we see consistency within the Word, but also we see this progression. We've lately been talking about progressive revelation. We see this progression of the move of the Holy Spirit as other things in the Scriptures and the work of God. One other example I want to mention, which many might not have seen or understand, is from the book of Daniel. Daniel himself, in chapter 4, I said, Belshazzar, who is Daniel, he was renamed in Babylon, master of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you and that no mystery baffles you. We'll talk about that. Consider my dream that I have seen and tell me its interpretation. King Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't recognize the God of Israel per se, but he knew that there was a spirit, the Holy Spirit, he's the spirit of the gods, but we know he's Daniel's faithful to Adonai, that it's the spirit of God in him that is giving him wisdom. In him, Daniel is going to not make it if the wisdom of God, if the Holy Spirit isn't directing him. A lot of times that's not brought up in studies and research. But Daniel was operating in the Ruach HaKodesh. The Ruach HaKodesh gave him great wisdom and discernment. He never got anything wrong, at least in the eyes of King Nebuchadnezzar. He's so great that he's raised to second in command in the whole kingdom. Good old Jewish boy raised to second in command in a pagan nation. Not too shabby, huh? You can see you're all extremely excited about that. And we can see this affirmed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, because our good news did not come to you in word only, but also in the power and in the Ruach HaKodesh, and with complete certainty. With complete certainty, the apostles are bringing the word of God and the ways of God with complete certainty because of the power, and the power is from the Holy Spirit. Just as you know what kind of men we proved to be while among you for your sake. So he's saying, so Paul and others apparently are saying, because he says we, he's saying, look, you can look at us and the work that we're doing, and you've been trusting us, and the only reason you can do this is because the Holy Spirit is in us and the power that it provides. We should be in that same place. We should be operating in that same power. It's easier when you're operating in the Holy Spirit than operating in your own flesh. It is easier. It's easier to write messages when I don't have to write them. The Holy Spirit writes them, I just write them down. It's not quite that easy, but it's pretty good. I remember 20 years ago when I started writing messages, it would take me 40 hours to write a message. Were they good? I don't know, but they were darn long. The things I said were good, right? Were they empowered by the Holy Spirit? I don't know. I've had to grow in the Holy Spirit for many years to be led by the Spirit, just like writing this message. I sat down this morning, a couple hours, it was done. The Lord had just brought it. If the Lord brings it, you don't have to do so much fact-checking. Yeah. Always check your sources. We can be encouraged, those hopefully that where there's good shepherds, that we can be encouraged. We need to know that they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need to see the anointing of the Holy Spirit in their lives, not just in what they teach, but in how they live, that we can be assured, that we can be encouraged to what we're seeing. And though in the flesh we may not like it, in the spirit we should be able to say, yes, this person, these people, I can trust because they're walking in the Holy Spirit. Just saying fancy words and teaching doesn't mean people are always walking in the Holy Spirit. So how important is this understanding how the Holy Spirit works? Well, it's vitally important. You will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and through all Judah and Samaria to the ends of the earth. From Acts chapter 1, it was verse 8. This is vitally important that we know how the Holy Spirit works, because without it, how are we going to reach the nations? How are the nations going to take us seriously if we're just talking heads and no spirit that's accountable to the word? And the deeds and the life that we live. How can we reach the nations if they look at us and say, oh, you just look like us and you got better words than I do? That's why our testimony is so important. Without the Spirit, we are powerless in our lives. And we are powerless in the lives of others, which is our testimony. All we have is our testimony. How do you live? How do you breathe? How do you talk? Yeah, we all struggle and we have ebbs and flows to our testimony. We all make mistakes. Myself included, make them all the time. But if we're gonna reach people, there has to be that intangible that people can touch and see, and that's the Holy Spirit. Nobody's perfect. We strive for perfection. We don't reach perfection until we come to the resurrection and in heaven. You know, hopefully called to heaven. Without the Spirit, we are powerless. We're powerless in the kingdom of God. You can get earthly things done in this earth without the Holy Spirit, but they will produce no fruit. You can be successful in this world, in the corporate world or whatever, and have nothing to show for in the end, because none of that counts without being Spirit-filled and it being driven by the Holy Spirit. From 2 Timothy 1, guard the good that has been entrusted to you through the Ruach HaKodesh, who dwells in us. That's an interesting scripture, right? Guard the good that has been entrusted to you through the Ruach HaKodesh who dwells in you. So whatever that we are receiving of the word and the goodness of God, we need to guard it. We need to be partners in guarding what God puts in us. That means we need to be aware of what we think, what we do, what we say, how we conduct ourselves. If you say that you're a believer and on weekends you're stealing from CVS, CVS is my wife's choice, right? Not for stealing, but that's where she likes to go for stuff. But she pays for it. At least she tells me she is. Regina's too small to go to Walmart and take the TVs. That's why she chose CVS. Yeah. That's my girl. We can't guard ourselves without the Holy Spirit, right? We need to be aware, and we can't do that without the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. We cannot guard ourselves or others in the truth without the Spirit. How do you counsel somebody in something that they're struggling with and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit? You're wasting your time and their time. All fruit is born of God. All fruit is born of the Word and of the Spirit, not your professional attitude or instruction. Those things can be helpful. But who's the glory? The glory is God. Let us be more aware of His presence, as one of the songs that Amanda Pick said. Let us be more aware of Your presence. Let us experience Your glory and Your goodness. We cannot sustain ourselves in Messiah without the Comforter that dwells in us. You can't say you know Yeshua, but you don't have the Holy Spirit. It just doesn't work that way. If you're not sure that you've received the Holy Spirit, the Ruach within you, cry out to Yeshua. Cry out. Oh God, oh Yeshua, reveal Yourself and Your Spirit in me. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Yeshua promised the Comforter to those that are in Him. You've not been passed over. If you've really made a faithful acknowledgement of Messiah as Yeshua's Lord and Savior, you've not been passed over. You may not have made the connection due to life deceiving you in your own suffering or struggles or challenges. Not everybody experiences the Holy Spirit with fireworks. In fact, most don't. It's like many places they'll tell you still, if you don't have the gift of tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. What a bunch of hooey that is. It's not true. It's the least of the gifts, and many don't have it. The Holy Spirit would never say to somebody, if you don't have the gift of tongues, you don't have me. We're not talking about that weird stuff either. We're talking about either the language of angels that is a private language that the Lord brings. You don't have it. That can happen. It's not something we do in public. At least not without it being interpreted. I want to encourage particularly those that may not that struggle or don't seem to be operating in the Ruach. It's Shavuot. God is able. He keeps His promises to the faithful. In fact, He keeps His promises to the evil ones too. He's going to destroy them. God never breaks a promise. to those that are faithful, the promises of eternal life, and to those that are wicked, to eternal damnation. God doesn't break his promises to anybody. His promises are to all of the creation, to the faithful and to the unfaithful, and those that are somewhere in between. After that, he said this. He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Ruach HaKodesh. If you forgive anyone's sins, then they are forgiven. But if you hold back, then they are held back," from John chapter 20. When we're in the Spirit, we have responsibilities. We have a responsibility to forgive. And if you don't forgive, you could hold back the blessings on those people. It's from John chapter 20. I urge each of us today to trust the Messiah. His love and his power and his Spirit. All good things. But you, loved ones, continue building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Ruach HaKodesh from the book of Judah, Jude chapter 1. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, Lord, I just lift up this community. I lift up those at home that may be struggling or find themselves that this message is relevant to them, Lord. I lift them all up to you, O God. I lift them up to you by your Spirit. I have no way of doing that except by faith. I lift them up in the power that you've given us and the Spirit you provided to me. And Lord, that we pray for each person that's struggling to know you intimately in the Comforter. And Lord, I pray that the Comforter would come and manifest and just make himself known to all. I pray, Lord, for a double portion of the Spirit to fall on each person. Lord, that they would be shaking as the Spirit just moves through their bodies and through their mind. Lord, that there would be a change. A permanent change, Lord. A change of not knowing to knowing. Changing from not knowing the Spirit to knowing the presence of God. I pray, Lord, that this on this Shavuot, it would not be just some Shavuot. This would be a new encounter with your Ruach and your Word in this day, in this moment. May the hearts of all open up to you, O Lord. May they drop their defenses. May they drop their attitudes. May they drop their hopelessness and allow hopefulness to be filled with them, in them, through your Holy Spirit. Say no to the enemy and say yes to you. Thank you, Lord, that you are patient. You are full of chesed, loving kindness. Lord, may your Spirit manifest in ways that we have never seen in this community. And may people be healed and strengthened through your Spirit. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen.